Elizabeth Elliot says, "I believe there is such a thing as self-esteem and self-image, but I do not think that it is something that you and I ought to be paying much attention to. I would much rather use the energy and the time that I have and direct it towards knowing God, worshiping God, loving God, finding out who He is, and daily praying that He will make me much more like Himself." Welcome to Gateway to Joy, a ministry of author and teacher Elizabeth Elliot.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says, and underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend Elizabeth Elliot, continuing my talks on Oswald Chambers. In the last couple of days, I've been quoting heavily from his book called My Utmost for His Highest. I'm hoping that you're going to read his biography by David McCasland called Oswald Chambers Abandoned to God. Yesterday, we were talking about the distinction between personality and individuality. Personality is something that can be surrendered to God. Individuality has got to go. Individuality is what stands between us and harmony with the other person. We like to think of ourselves as being unique. You know, well, that's just me. I'm just like that. I'm not like the rest of them. And we like to emphasize our distinctiveness and perhaps our peculiarities with a certain amount of pride and separation from the rest of the human race. Well, that has just got to go. And now let's talk about whining. The trouble with Oswald Chambers is that he always hits me between the eyes. Here's what he says about taking the Lord's yoke upon us. Matthew 11:29 says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth." That means if the Lord loves you, he is going to require a certain amount of discipline and suffering. How petty our complaining is. Our Lord begins to bring us into the place where we can have communion with Him, and we groan and say, "Oh Lord, let me be like other people." Jesus is asking us to take one end of the yoke. My yoke is easy. Get alongside me, and we will pull together. Are you identified with the Lord Jesus like that? If so, you will thank God for the pressure of His hand. To them that have no might, He increaseth strength. God comes and takes us out of our sentimentality, and our complaining turns into a paean of praise. The only way to know the strength of God is to take the yoke of Jesus upon us and learn of Him. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Where do the saints get their joy from? If we didn't know some saints, we would say, "Oh, he or she has nothing to bear." Lift the veil. The fact that the peace and the light and the joy of God are there is proof that the burden is there too. The burden God places squeezes the grapes, and out comes the wine. Most of us see only the wine. No power on earth or in hell can conquer the Spirit of God in a human spirit. It is an inner unconquerableness. If you have the whine in you, kick it out ruthlessly. It is a positive crime to be weak in God's strength. Are you and I ready for that? If you have the whine in you, kick it out ruthlessly. It is a positive crime to be weak in God's strength. Well, he just goes on and on. These are zingers. And if you don't really want to be stung, I would suggest that you avoid assiduously the book called My Utmost for His Highest, or anything else written by Oswald Chambers. Here's one on chastening. Hebrews 12:5. "Despise not the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him." It's very easy to quench the spirit We do it by despising the chastening of the Lord, by fainting when we're rebuked by him. If we have only a shallow experience of sanctification, we mistake the shadow for the reality. And when the Spirit of God begins to check, we say, "Oh, that must be the devil." Never quench the Spirit. And do not despise him when he says to you, "Don't be blind on this point anymore. You are not where you thought you were. Up to the present, I have not been able to reveal it to you, but I reveal it now." When the Lord chastens you like that, let him have his way. Let him relate you rightly to God. We get into sulks with God, and we say, "Oh, well, I can't help it. I did pray, and things did not turn out right, and I'm going to give it all up." Think what would happen if we talked like this in any other domain of life. Getting into sulks with God. Am I prepared to let God grip me by his power and do a work in me that is worthy of himself? Sanctification is not my idea of what I want God to do for me. Listen now. Sanctification is God's idea of what he wants to do for me. And he has to get me into the attitude of mind and spirit where at any cost I will let him sanctify me wholly. And that goes right along with this matter that I often speak about and am often convicted about, self-pity. Back to that verse that we have quoted several times, Matthew 11:28, Jesus said, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and gentle, and you will find rest. I will give you rest." Whenever anything begins to disintegrate your life with Jesus Christ, turn to him at once and ask him to establish rest. Never allow anything to remain which is making the dis-peace or the lack of peace. Take every element of disintegration as something to wrestle against and not to suffer. Say, "Lord, prove thy consciousness in me," and self-consciousness will go, and you will be all in all. Beware of allowing self-consciousness to continue, because by slow degrees it will awaken self-pity, and self-pity is satanic. "Well, I'm not understood. This is a thing they ought to apologize for. That's a point I really must have cleared up." Leave others alone and ask the Lord to give you Christ consciousness, and he will poise you until the completeness is absolute. Let's go back to that phrase, beware of allowing self-consciousness to continue, because by slow degrees it will awaken self-pity, and self-pity is satanic. The complete life is the life of a child. When I am consciously conscious, there is something wrong. It's the sick man who knows what health is. The child of God is not conscious of the will of God because he is the will of God. When there has been the slightest deviation from the will of God, we begin to ask, "What is thy will?" A child of God never prays to be conscious that God answers prayer. He is so restfully certain that God always does answer prayer. If we try to overcome self-consciousness by any common sense method, we will develop it tremendously. Jesus says, "Come unto me, and I will give you rest." That means that Christ consciousness will take the place of self-consciousness. Wherever Jesus comes, he establishes rest, the rest of the perfection of activity that is never conscious of itself. Well, it's a big order, isn't it? If God has made your cup sweet, drink it with grace. If he has made it bitter, drink it in communion with him. If the providential order of God for you is a hard time of difficulty, go through with it, but never choose the scene of your martyrdom. God chose the crucible for Abraham, and Abraham made no demur. He went steadily through. If you are not living in touch with him, it's easy to pass a crude verdict on God. You must go through the crucible before you have any right to pronounce a verdict, because in the crucible, you learn to know God better. God is working for his highest ends until his purpose and man's purpose become one. God said to Abraham, "Take now thy son." His command to you and me is, take now, not soon, not later, but now. It's extraordinary how we debate. We know a thing's right, but we try to find excuses for not doing it at once. To climb to the height God shows can never be done soon. It must be done now. The sacrifice is gone through in will before it is performed actually. When God spoke, Abraham did not confer with flesh and blood. Beware when you want to confer with flesh and blood, with your own sympathies, your own insight, anything that is not based on your personal relationship to God. These are the things that compete with and hinder obedience to God.
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliott, author of over 20 books, including Shadow of the Almighty, The Life and Testament of Jim Elliott. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.